And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are still talking about how selfishness is destroying your marriage. And we invite you to call in and talk about it. Get some guidance and some assistance on that. 215-263-1039-877-995-7644. But right now we want to visit our second favorite book, and that's Facebook. Please become our friend if you have not already. Go to Facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, hit that like button at the top of the page, and then post your comments there. So, Marcos, what are folks saying on the book?
Okay. We have Andrea Morrison, who says, "No enemies, just us three, me, God, and him." Interesting how she put herself first. But I think that we got to be careful. There always will be enemies, not that they are infiltrating right now, but they will attack. Danya Johnson says, "Infidelity, which in turn causes trust issues, once that seal is broken, it's easy for the devil to sneak in and place negative thoughts, feelings, even in you, even when things are going great. In the back of your mind, you always wonder, and it's at those moments that you tell the devil that he's a liar and pray to God that if there's something going on, that he will reveal it to you in its time." So great stuff there. She wrote some more stuff. I would encourage all of you to go back and read what's been posted on Facebook. Stacy Mark says, "Pride is first, then there's trust, lack of communication, control, manipulation, lack of affection and intimacy." A whole mouthful of what's going on there. Nikita Kimball says, "Oversized ego. There's nothing wrong with having an ego, but you have to know when to use and be fair about it. But God can do all things, big and small." Uniqua says, "Lack of communication and trust and romance because of infidelity." And the list goes on and on and on about what are the number one enemies in your relationship. We know we're talking about selfishness this morning. Mm-hmm. I think, Tiffany, we can go back to the phone lines
now. All right. So let's get back into it again. The numbers, if you have not gotten on the line, let's get on that. 215-263-1039-877-995-7644. We have Beth Ann calling in on line 5. Beth Ann, good morning. Live on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to comment on the last caller that was talking about the relationship that she was in, and she left, and then her bishop encouraged her to go back.
Yes.
A lot of times we want to seek things on our own, and the Word of God said we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that we need would be added unto us. Sometimes we're so desperate for a relationship that we want to fix that person in order for us to have a relationship, when what we really should be doing is seeking God, making God our husband first, and then in the process of us serving God and putting him first in our lives, then he will bring that person that he desires for us to be with, and then we won't have to wonder, will this relationship last, because it's God that brought us together in the first place. And another thing, another comment I'd like to make about relationships and women, they're forever looking for a man to buy them. And, you know, the Bible says that we are priceless. Our price or the cost of us is far above rubies and pearls. And we believe that in order for a man to be with us, they have to show us with material things. But if our relationship should be based on true love, where God is first and we love that person because of who he is and what we can actually build together, then we will have a lasting relationship. Our relationship should not be built on the things that are temporal, but on spiritual things,
okay,
and put God first in our lives.
Okay, Beth Ann. That's all good, and I'm glad that you share that. But what about for you? What's your experience?
Well, I was involved in a relationship that I got involved in out of disobedience, because when I met this person, He said he was a Christian, and I fasted for 7 days to get guidance from the Lord, whether I should have had a relationship with him or not. Mm-hmm. And I had a vision where the Lord directed me that this person was not for me. Mm-hmm. But I allowed that person to convince me that he was so godly. And we went to church, we went through the rituals, but he really wasn't the person for me. Mm-hmm. He was doing the things that were not of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Okay. So we need to be obedient to the Lord in every aspect of our lives.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to say thank you so much, Bethann. And I think you've speaking from experience. And you're right. You cannot get so desperate that you compromise. You need to listen to the word of God. Thank you so much, Bethann.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Don't forget to give us a call. We are looking to have you talk about the selfishness that may be destroying your relationship, issues that have come up, guidance that you may need to work you, your husband, or your wife through a particular situation, or even if you have been through something and you've worked through that selfish moment or moments. We'd love to hear from you. 215-263-1039-87. 775-9957644.
Okay. You know, one of the things that we got to realize, and I'm not trying to single out Bethann or anyone else, is that we do want to hear from you, but your experience, what you're learning, like we know what the Bible says. And sometimes, you know, we know the good we ought to do, and we don't do it. And so to be able to hear people's examples, like Bethann, when she said, look, she didn't listen to God,
mm-hmm.
it didn't work. And that's why she's having all this, you know, desire to preach and tell us. But instead of just preaching, just share your life. That is the most powerful sermon that you can ever hear. We have plenty of scriptures. I want to share another one here that I shared earlier, but this time I'll share it from the book of Matthew. Before I shared it from Genesis 2, this time in Matthew 19, it says, and for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Jesus was quoting Genesis when he said this, and he's talking about, look, they will become one. And of course, the devil's always trying to divide us, divide our home, divide us in so many ways so that we will not make it to kill, you mm-hmm. know, steal, kill and destroy is what he does. We know that from John 10:10. But of course, he wants to give us life to the full.
All right. Really important. Again, the number to call, 215-263-1039-877-995-7644. All right. So when you do call in, we do encourage you to, like Marcos just said, to speak from your experience. You know what? This is like a difficult topic when you talk about selfishness. Like I said in the beginning of the program, I wonder how many people realize just how selfish they are. And you gave a testimony about how you thought you were pretty giving until you got married. For newlyweds.
Okay.
For newlyweds, how do you encourage them to get past maybe the first shock of, wow, my husband or my wife is kind of selfish with this right here? Like that, you know, when you're still in the honeymoon phase and then that first wave of selfishness hits. How do you work through that?
You got to remind them of their vows. Because you know what? We talk about it so much in premarital counseling, but people don't, many still don't get it. Mm-hmm. And so we just remind them of their vows. It's like, look, wait a minute. What did you think? You were marrying Jesus? You
know
what
I mean? Right.
You married a sinner, of course. And guess what? You have sin too. And so that's very, very important.
Right,
I know we're going to take a break in just a minute, but I think we have time for one more call before
Absolutely.
The break.
We have Reverend Mac on line two. Reverend, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey,
hello.
Reverend Mac. Yes,
hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm Reverend Mac.
Okay, well, welcome to our show. We're talking about selfishness. We have a few minutes mm-hmm. before the break, so what would you like to share with us?
Man, I thank God. I mean, I've been married now, September, be 18 years, and I found out you shouldn't really be selfish. I mean, this is a one-way street. You should be one. You know, when you get married, mm-hmm. you're one. You know, you should share and give and don't be selfish about yourself, you know, be concerned about your party, the one that you married. Mm-hmm. But I thank God that, I mean, all down through the years, I couldn't find myself being shuffled with somebody, being selfish with someone God allowed me to have, and to death do us part, you know. And it's a beautiful thing when you can learn that. And sometimes we, as men, we have to learn to be quiet and listen to our wives too, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a blessing. I thank God. And we are setting an example in our church. We are setting an example, making an example, because the way we walk and the way we treat each other, you know.
So what do you do when you're tempted to be selfish? Because we all go through the temptation.
Well, when you're tempted to be selfish, you just seek ye the Lord, seek the face of God for direction, and God would help you to control that selfishness.
Okay, amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added.
Matthew 6:33. Awesome. Thanks so much, Reverend Mack. We appreciate your call.
All right. God bless you. Now.
Right, you take too. Care. All right, we see you on the line, and we are going to speak with you in minutes. If you are not yet in the queue, you have a few minutes to do so. 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. Call us and tell us about the selfishness that is or was destroying your marriage. And do that right now. We'll be right back with more conversation after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Very good morning to you. Welcome back to the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, talking about the number one enemy to the marriage, selfishness. How is it destroying your relationship? Give us a call, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. Marcos, we have an anonymous caller on line 3. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. All right. I need some advice on something.
Sure. Ask away.
I have a situation where I got married in 06, and a little bit right after we got married, I wound up with custody of my grandson.
Okay.
And my husband now is working 7 days a week, working at a part-time job and a full-time job. I've asked him to quit the part-time job because I need some help at home, and I miss him being home and family time and spending time with me. And majority of the time, he's tired. He says he doesn't want to quit the part-time job because the part-time job is what he's paying his child support out of for another child that he has, an older son. How do I handle that?
Okay. I think that you have so many layers of different things going on. You're talking about the custody of your grandson. You're talking about your husband's 1.5 jobs. And then you're talking about your need for time and, I guess, having your husband around. You miss him. You want him around.
Right.
All right, so let's really quickly try to approach, you know, one at a time. Let's start with the grandson. How does that interfere and affect your relationship, having your grandson?
Well, I didn't anticipate getting custody of him, and all of a sudden I did. So me and my husband had just got married, so we didn't have that much time to bond as husband and wife, mm-hmm. so to speak. Then giving my attention to my grandson, because he was like, 1 year old.
Wow.
So giving him the attention that he needs as a child in daycare and so forth. So that's the part right there, my husband not being home to help me with him.
Okay. Now, but was your husband, how did he feel about you taking custody of your grandchild?
When I told him I was going to talk to him about that, he said he was, you know, fine with that because we didn't want Ethan in the system.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to do that. We wanted to give him, a good start.
Okay.
So we've done that, I believe, but he's never here. And I wonder, you're not here because you really don't want the responsibility, but don't want to tell me that.
Okay. Well, you don't know. And that's possible. It can definitely be that. But I think, number one, I don't know how it went down,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times it's not usually mutual. It's more like, okay, this is my grandkid. This is what I want. There's no way he's going to go into the system. And then maybe he just agreed. Mm-hmm. And what I want to encourage you is to revisit the conversation of how are you both going to raise this child together?
Right.
Because now he's a child in your house. Mm-hmm. He's not just your grandchild. He's your child.
Right.
And he needs a mom and a dad. And I tell you, God bless you for doing that. And I think God sees that. But you need that help. He needs a father figure as well.
Right.
And so just really revisiting that conversation just to make sure that he's clear and you are clear on what are some of those responsibilities. And really, even I would even encourage you to write them out. Like, these are some responsibilities that we will have for this child.
Right.
I guess Ethan, right?
Right, right.
Okay. And so that's first. Like, really revisit that. Don't ignore that. And then number two, you were talking about the jobs.
Right.
Now, that's very complicated because you already... And I don't take this the wrong way, please, but you both came in with baggage.
Right.
You talk about his child support. And so was this discussed before you were married?
Which part?
The fact that he would need another job to pay for child support.
No, because it wasn't like it is now. He was working at somewhere else.
Okay.
And it was taking the money out of his check, so forth. The woman decided to take him back for more child support, and then come to find out he owed arrears. So that's the purpose of the second job. But all that's taken care of and caught up. But I'm like, well, why do you still have this part-time job when you stated you want to quit it when you started the new job, which pays more money, more chance for advancement and so forth, but it hasn't been done yet.
Okay. Okay. So here's the last thing. It sounds like you're real... struggle is not the fact that he has another job. It's just that you feel like you're getting the leftovers.
I do feel like I'm getting the leftovers because he's tired all the time and so forth. And not only that, the selfish part that I'm feeling is because you stated you were going to leave that job, the child support should be caught up. Money can be taken out the full-time mm-hmm. job that you have. You know, and his statement, I don't want that to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. All this, to me, boils down to one thing, communication.
Correct.
It just sounds like you and your husband need some time. And I know he's working hard and he's tired and you have the grandchild. But is there a way that just you and him can have a day or two to just go away and have a bonding time together and then talk about these issues? Because if you don't deal with them, they're not going to go away.
We've just done that. Actually, we just did that a few weeks ago.
And
that was one of my conversations with him. And, of course, the same thing was said. I don't want to do that because she may take me back for more money, try to increase it, and the story goes on.
Okay, so at this point, you obviously have unmet needs, and that's important. I would encourage you at this point, you need to get together with someone. You need help, outside help, counseling, mm-hmm. Whether it's with a minister, whether it's with someone like myself. I mean, really, you need to get someone in there because if you don't see this, your unhappiness is going to affect the whole house. And he needs to listen. Okay, it might not be that he has to leave that second job, but he has to figure something out. And I think you guys got to work at this together. So are you open and willing to get some help?
I am, definitely.
Okay, and so you got to figure out if he is, and then, you know, we could take it from there. Where are you located, if you don't mind asking me?
Philadelphia, Mount Airy.
Okay. All right, well, look, I want to encourage you to you know, reach out to me if possible, if you would like to get together.
Yeah.
I'll give you the number. It's 717.
717-862-862
VOWS, or 8697.
8697. Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless. And
God bless you, too.
Hopefully we can help you out.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a blessed day.
Right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Danielle calling in with a question on line 4. Danielle, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I have a question.
Okay. Please.
I'm not sure if it's selfishness on my husband's behalf of our relationship, of our marriage, or if it's he just got tired and gave up.
Okay, well, explain.
We've been together for 7 years, and he just got tired last year around June, and he just walked out on the family, and we have 3 kids together. And I'm at a place now where I'm lost because I've been trying to fight for the marriage, but I've been pulling away myself from a distance.
Okay.
And we're 27. Almost 28, but we got married when we was 19. And so I don't really know if I should fight for it, because I'm getting to the point where I'm getting tired and I just want to walk away.
Okay, so you want to walk away as well?
Well, no, I won't, because he's been gone from the family for a year.
Okay.
And he hasn't seen the kids in almost 2 months and things like that, and I'm not sure if it's time for me to give up.
Oh, on him. I got you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so have you taken him to court for the kids? Is he taking care of them financially?
No, sir, we haven't done any proceedings or anything. Next month will be our year where we'll be able to proceed with those things.
Wow. Okay, well...
But I'm not sure.
All right, well, number one, you're asking if it's selfishness. Absolutely. When someone walks out on their family, whatever the reason, it's very selfish because you have a commitment that you made, and now he left you alone with three children. Should you give up on the marriage? I probably won't recommend that yet until you do everything you can. But are you and your husband able to at least have conversation about this?
No, sir. We can't talk because it hurts me so bad, because at the time we did both do adultery parts in our marriage.
Okay.
But at the time he was wanting me to change, but he didn't want to change. But then at the end, I started changing, and he kept on saying that it felt phony. Mm. And I told him, I said, did you think it felt phony because you never seen that change in me before? And he didn't. He really couldn't answer it. And then June, he just said he had an apartment, and he just been out there.
Okay. Well,
he just been out there.
Well, I'm gonna give you some advice, all right, Danielle? And this is just my input, my advice to you. First of all, Luke 1:37 says nothing is impossible with God. So we know that God can fix any situation, but God also allows us to go through consequences. And so the decision that your husband made must come with consequences. And that's why I asked you about the child support, anything like that. Someone leaves their wife.
He does pay child support. He does pay child support for the kids, but he's in the rear and he just started in September.
Yeah, but he's not being responsible financially or physically. He's not spending time with the children. I mean, he totally, for lack of better expression, he's been a coward in this situation. He's not dealt with this face on, and he's going to have to give an account to God. And I hope he's listening, because he will give an account to God for this. Because that is, what is he going to say to God? Well, I'm sorry, I got tired. This was too hard. You know, that's not the approach you take. Look, that marriage is tough. Life is hard. Having children is difficult, but you guys made that decision together, and so now here you're caught by yourself. Should you give up on him? I think right now you don't have a choice. You got to kind of pull yourself by your bootstraps, and you got to figure out how you're going to make this work. And emotionally, it sounds like you have to move on. You can't depend on him anymore, and because if you keep allowing yourself to get hurt over and over again, you're going to be a mess, and you won't be able to be strong for your children.
Okay. All right. So, because that's where I was just so confused, because I want to be the best example to them about the situation. But it's so hard because I really want the marriage to work.
Yes, but
I want to give him the space. You know, I feel like he needs space.
No, he doesn't need space. He doesn't need space. He needs to repent. That space thing, that's baloney. It doesn't work. He needs to change. He can have all the space in the world. You know what space does? Space would allow him to have another affair. He needs to make a decision. And, you know, we use that expression, man up. He needs to man up about this. And you need to stop making excuses for him.
So I should just sit back and just let God do what he do best and just see how it plays out.
Yeah, but it's not just sitting back and let God do what's best. You do what God has called you to do, which is to be a responsible mom, a Christian woman who's going to love God. Don't hold bitterness or resentment, but move on from this man who abandoned you. And
okay.
What I mean move on, I'm not saying go to another relationship. I'm saying, look, get your life in order, get it together, but don't keep waiting for your husband to come back, and then when he doesn't, you're a mess.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, because it's been a year, and it's just like I can't even talk to him without getting emotional, because today would be our 8-year anniversary.
Okay, and I wish I could say congratulations, but look, you can't even count on that anymore. He abandoned you.
Right.
He abandoned his children. You, at this point, got to focus on what you can. You can't even worry about that. It would have been nice to have celebrated it together, but he's not there. So you need to move on.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Let's go to Howard calling in on line 5. Howard, good morning. You're live on the air. Howard.
Hello.
Hi, yes. Howard. You're live on the air.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to say that number one, great program, and the young lady that was just on, I totally agree with the counseling, the sharing of the information that the brother gave. But one of the things I want to say, I think that the marriage situation, just as in a lot of other type of relationships, the communication, people continuing to talk before they get married, so everybody understands, because here's the scripture that Jesus makes it so clear, and he says, nobody puts up a building unless he first sits down and count up the cost.
Absolutely.
And you know, and just like in construction, sometimes you crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, but you run into some things, but you have to, the grace of God, the love you have for one another, you have to allow for that. But just like that brother just said, that was some tough medicine, but I don't always agree with everything I hear on this program, but I have to agree with that marriage is tough. There's nothing easy about it, and it's not for the faint at heart. That's a fact. But
absolutely. All right, well, Howard, by the way, my name is Marcos. Marcos.
Marcos. Oh, Marcos. Okay.
All right, that's fine, and I do appreciate it. And let me tell you, it is tough. And Howard, are you married?
Yes, I am.
And how has selfishness affected your relationship?
Well, there was some. I think in the beginning that's not there now, and that came from just talking and I'm a giving, sharing person. And just one thing I learned, as a person said many, many years ago, don't let anybody take you out of your character. If you're giving, don't say, well, I'm not going to be giving because he's not giving or because she's not giving. And one thing I want to close out with, one time the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I'll never forget it. And I felt like my spouse was in error. And the Holy Spirit laid this on my heart, said, don't you respond to her the way she's dealing with you. You do everything that you know is right. I'll deal with her. I'll talk with her. I'll deal with that. But don't you do anything to avenge yourself of any wrong that you, and that went a long way with me.
Absolutely, Howard. Great advice. Thank you so much, and I'm glad you listened to the Spirit.
Alrighty.
All right, Howard. God bless.
God bless you.
Remember now, we are talking in the last couple of minutes of today's program. We're talking about how selfishness is destroying your marriage. We encourage you to give us a call while we still have some time left. 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. Let's speak with Gladys calling in on line 2 with a comment. Good morning, Gladys. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I did say that I had a comment, but I do have a question.
Okay.
Regarding my situation. I've been married for almost 18 years. My husband and I have gone through a lot within the 18 years. Throughout the 18 years, he has been incarcerated several times. Just this last time, I found out the purpose of his incarceration. Even through all of that, I've really prayed and asked God to restore everything. But this last time, it was like the final for me. I've asked God, to be separate, to remove him out of my life. That's what I asked, because of the many lies and deceit and all of that, so forth and so on. We do have 2 children together, so now I have had the obligation of raising my daughters by myself for the last 5 years. And to my understanding, he will be incarcerated for the next 17 years.
Wow.
But my question for you is that I have gone through the proceedings of getting a divorce, only because I'm kind of tired of the repeat. Seems like it just has not been a marriage. He's a great father, but it just has not been a marriage. But I submitted the divorce papers, did sign them, but I have not received them.
Okay. Now, Gladys, in order to help you, would you mind telling us, okay, what's the reason for his incarceration?
He's been convicted as a professional burglar.
Okay. Okay, and has this been, like, the case all the time, or?
All the time.
Okay.
God has really spared him because the case, he had five counts, and God condensed it to one count just to give him 10 to 20. I mean, God has really, really showed himself faithful and true. But, like I said, he did sign them. He did send them back to me, but I have not received them. And this has been about 4 months now that I have not received the papers. But he did send them back to me because even the prison system states that he did send them to me, but I have not received them. I have been questioning if this is God stating that
okay. This
decision I made.
Okay, Gladys, let me interject.
Yes.
All right. A few things. Number one, as horrific as burglary is, scripturally, okay, when we look at the scriptures, that is not grounds for divorce.
Correct.
Now, the deceit, it's understandable why you feel the way you feel. I mean, I don't know what woman would not feel that way. Here's the reality. Biblically, you can divorce your husband, but you cannot remarry. So if you feel like, okay, I can't live with this man. I don't know who he is. I don't trust him. I don't feel safe, whatever the case may be, and you divorce him, then you are to stay alone for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That is a cost you need to count. If not, the Bible says, then you reconcile to your husband. Now, you already are separated, okay? You don't have control over that. He's incarcerated. So it's not like you're living under the same roof, but at some point, he will come out, whether that be 17 years from now, whether it's 10 years, 5 years, whatever it is, he'll be out again. And if you're not divorced, you have another opportunity to say, okay, are we going to make this work again, give it another shot? Or if you're divorced, then you're saying, okay, well, there is no other shot, but you have to be willing to live the rest of your life alone. That is a cost you need to count. If you're willing to count that cost and pay that price, then so be it. Then you can do that. And I would not do that unless God made it really clear. And you also got to understand in your heart of hearts, what can you live with and what you cannot live with? Because if you are a free woman, in a sense, you're not married, and then you try to date and marry someone else, but it was not because of infidelity that you divorced, you're not free to marry again. So what do you think about that? I mean, that is biblical.
That is biblical, and I do agree with you, but that infidelity was a part of it as well, but it
so if it's for infidelity, then that's different. But you got to ask yourself, okay, why is it? And in the divorce, you know, are you leaving him because he was unfaithful? And right. I think that you have to be clear about that. And it really goes down to conscience. I know this is something that a lot of people don't always understand or agree with, and there are different opinions out there, and I tell people for themselves, look, you're going to have to give an account of God for this. It doesn't matter what I say or any other minister or anybody else says.
Right.
One day you will face God, and you'll be able to, you'll have to say, okay, I did this because.
Right.
And you cannot say because Marco said or because my reverend or my bishop or whatever. You're going to have to say, what did the Bible say, and did you do it because you believe that's what the scripture said?
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, Gladys. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Let's go to Linda calling in on line four. Linda, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I have a situation. I've been married for 20 years. And the past couple of years has been pretty difficult for me and my husband. We have two children that's with us now. One is in college. And now, and over the years, I have been aggressive in our relationship and controlling it because of issues that when I was young and I didn't realize that. And now that I'm older, I understand that I'm going to therapy, that what was going on. And he's tired of that situation now. He said that he's been in the relationship and I've been abusive to him. And I love him so much, and he loved me very much, but he's still at the house, but he said he doesn't love me. He cares for me now, and he's trying to work on whether or not he should stay there or leave. And I'm, like, trusting God, and I'm praying, and I'm crying, and I'm depressed a lot, and I'm just trying to do things different because he's my best friend, and I've done everything with him. Now I've networked with females, and I'm doing things to keep myself busy so I won't be depressed. So, and advice.
Okay, a few things there. All right, first of all, Linda, thank you for your call right away. Thank you. And secondly, are you still abusive?
No, I've changed verbally. I've toned it down a lot, and he doesn't, you know, so he's not trusting me yet because he'll see in my eyes that I'll get angry, but then I don't go there.
Okay, so your nostrils are still flaring up. You're just not saying anything.
Right.
Okay. And could you make sure your radio is all the way off, please? Because we get feedback. Okay. And then, so you're not abusive. You said verbally. What about is there any physical abuse?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, let me share with you some good news. Now, with that good news, there's another side to the coin if you don't change. The good news is that, you know, when you talk about being in love and that in love feeling, it comes and goes. But if you don't change, it will go for good. The good news is, as you've changed, and if you really change in your heart, you can win your husband back. There's a doctor by the name of Dr. Willard Harley who wrote a book called His Needs, Her Needs. And in there, he talks about what he calls love busters.
Right?
And what a love buster is anything that will bankrupt the love that you have or vice versa that your husband has for you. And one of those things are angry outbursts or, you know, under the category of being abusive verbally, whatever. It's like it doesn't matter what you do. You can cook for your husband. You can massage his feet. You can love him. But he sees that anger in you. It takes away all that love feeling.
Yeah.
And so what you need is you need to work on, number one, eliminating that love buster in your life, which it sounds like you're doing. Therapy. And then you can't just eliminate it, but you got to start adding things that fulfill him.
Okay.
And it sounds like what he needs, and I might be wrong. This is a guess.
Okay.
All right. It sounds like he needs reassurance and affirmation.
Right.
That he is the man, that he deserves that respect, that he, you know, that you will not be disrespectful. And the other, on the opposite, that you're going to be very respectful. So what you need to start doing is you need to start adding things that will reassure him that he's the man, that he's the man of the house. You say you both have love for each other, but that you really love each other. And
right.
So, but you can't just take away the bad. You got to start adding. And you need to add. So what does that mean? It's going to take a lot of work, hard work of going above and beyond when you don't agree, just being very humble and saying, you know, I don't agree, but I trust you.
Okay.
And I tell you, you will be able to win your husband in such a great way. I would love to have more conversation with you, Linda. I invite you to, you know, to call me or stay connected with me, please.
Yes, I would love to because I am so serious. Me and him both put so much time in this. And he really, if he did not want to be there, he told me. He said, I would have left by now.
Absolutely.
And he's not, and I'm so grateful to God. Can I have a contact information or?
Sure. Let me give it to you really quickly. 717-862. Vows, V-O-W-S, or 8697. 717-862-8697.
Okay. And I'm sorry. Can I get your name again, sir, please?
Sure, absolutely. It's Marcos Mercado.
Marcos Mercado.
M-E-R-C-A-D-O. All right, Linda, God bless, and I'd love to hear from you. And I believe that this is a prime example of a relationship that can turn around.
Thank God. I trust it. Thank you so much.
Amen. Well, God bless.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. So make sure you give us a call. We have a few minutes left. I think we'll be able to talk to maybe one more person, one or two more people. 215-263-1039. Oh, get it together, Tiff. 215-263-1039. 877-995-7644. I had a numbers crash in my mind. So we have, who is this? Is it Deborah?
Deborah, I believe.
All right. We have Deborah calling in. Deborah, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, first of all, thank you so much for your program. I have listened to your program a lot and have really benefited from it. So thank you for all you do.
Okay.
But my question is, I think that things that my husband has done, and maybe me in the past, has been selfish and caused problems. And I have moved beyond that, but I don't think my husband has.
Okay.
And he doesn't see this.
Okay.
Okay. first of all, we've been married about 17 years. Mm-hmm. And through the marriage, when we first got married, my husband wine dined me and all that. And then soon after we were married, it stopped. I think my husband is selfish because he doesn't fulfill my needs, but he mm-hmm. wants his needs met. After probably about 10 years of marriage, my husband did go outside the marriage, and his excuse was that I made him do this.
Okay.
Or do that.
And,
so,
you know that is an excuse. Okay, so now let me ask you this. When you're saying your needs are not met, what are your needs?
Well, first of all, after my husband went outside the marriage, mm-hmm. this may sound funny, but to believers, it's not. You know, believers will know what I'm saying. It was the best thing that ever happened to me because it drew me closer to God. It took me to another level of having a relationship with God.
Okay.
So now that my views of religion and a closer relationship to God are stronger now, my husband sees me as a different person now because I am looking for a man of God.
Okay.
Someone that is going to lead in my household. And my husband isn't doing that, and he never did do it. But once he went outside the marriage and God revealed this to me, mm-hmm. it changed me.
So, Deborah,
he's saying.
Okay, Deborah, I got that. But why did you take him back?
Because I had people praying for me. I had people that told me I needed to stand in the gap and be a vessel because he's not a believer, and that
okay.
this is what God wanted me to do as part of his plan.
Okay. Now, stop for a minute, please. A few things are going on here. Number one, you took him back. All right, now
mm-hmm.
he's your husband. I think there was a huge step that was skipped. I'm not saying you shouldn't have taken him back, but it mm-hmm. sounds like that was the time to kind of lay all the cards on the table and said, okay, if this is going to work, this is what we need to do.
Right.
Now, the good thing is you can still do that. I don't know how long it's been since the affair. You said it happened like 10 years into the marriage. And
yes,
it's
been 3 years now.
All right, so it's been 3 years. It's not too late to sit down. But I think that if you don't do anything differently, you not only you, but you and your husband are going to be miserable.
And right, we are.
And
that's what's happening now. We are.
Of course.
Deborah, just listen.
All right, so you're going to be miserable, which you are already. And I understand you go to counseling, you do everything. Until you both sit down and like adults, and you sound reasonable, okay? And I hope
mm-hmm.
that he's reasonable as well. And you can say, listen, we love each other, we want to be happy, or at least we want to make this work. This is what we need to do. And you probably will need counseling, but together, not just individually.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement to you is you cannot skip that step. It seems like was skipped 3 years ago. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, I have said the same thing to him.
Okay.
We have issues here. We need to go to counseling. He shuts down. He walks away from me. He leaves the house. He does not want to talk. And I am just so frustrated right now. And mm-hmm. what I'm saying about my needs not being met and him being selfish is, first of all, it's the same old thing that most women say. You're around the house, you're cleaning, you're cooking, your husband is just sitting there. All he does is just work and come home and watch TV. If there's things in my family that need to be done that are close to me, that's part of me.
Okay.
He won't do that.
Okay, Deborah, now let me stop here. I could try to counsel you, but on the phone, I just can't keep going, honestly. So, like everyone else, I would love to connect with you some more and hopefully, you know, have an opportunity to speak to you and your husband together, even if it's on the phone. So if that's possible, that would be great. So I want to encourage you, you know, reach out to me, you know, after the show, give me a call, and then we'll try to connect, you know, you and your husband and myself, and just at least start a conversation. Okay.
Right.
And the best number to reach me will be 717-862-8697.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be after the show.
8697.
All right.
Okay.
Deborah,
thank you so much.
And God bless. All right. Now, right before we end, this is pretty much the end of our show. We've
mm-hmm.
been doing something, what we call Nuggets of Wisdom. And we have on the phone Minister Joshua Byrd, who's going to just share very quickly a nugget of wisdom. Good morning, Josh Byrd. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, we're doing great. We're just wrapping up our show here, but I know you have a nugget of wisdom to share with us about marriage.
Yeah, I have a nugget for not ignoring or avoiding issues within the marriage. And I thought about a scripture in Malachi 3:3, where it says, "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver." And do you know that to rid silver or gold of all its impurities, it has to remain in the hottest part of the fire. Mm-hmm. And when all the impurities are gone, the silversmith will pull it out. But how the silversmith knows that it's gone is that he can see his reflection in the silver or mm-hmm. the gold. And the nugget, how this applies to marriage is, in our marriage, we are constantly dealing with challenges and conflicts. These are fires, okay? Mm-hmm. And God wants us not to avoid them or to ignore them, but to remain in the fire because he wants to purify us of all our impurities, our sins within our marriage, until his reflection can be seen in us. And that's the nugget I wanted to share today.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Minister Joshua Byrd. We appreciate it, and you have a blessed week. Thank you so much.
You too. Take care. Thank you.
And that's all we have for you today. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday morning. Much love going out to Bron, our producer down in Charlotte, and our producer here in Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.